Love FPL and love betting, but aren't necessarily as successful as you'd like to be at either? Then this podcast is just for you. We'll be sharing practical tips for you and how you can use your football knowledge to take down those pesky bookmakers. Welcome to Get Your Tips Out. Welcome to episode 6 of the Get Your Tips Out podcast. After another profitable week, loads of goals as predicted in the FPL last week. We've got some exciting fixtures coming up this week. We've got another special guest, and Richard's on the lager again, so it's bound to be an exciting show. Richard, how's your week been?
Yeah, good, mate. The mighty City had a fantastic win yesterday. City were absolutely outstanding, probably the best I've seen them play all year, even though we had three first team players out. So Ole's been sacked, City are on the up, life is good.
It's quite possibly the most one-sided 2-1 you're ever likely to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Neymar, and I've said it for about 6 or 7 years now, Neymar is absolutely garbage. I'm yet to see him have a good game. Don't rate him at all. And I think Messi is just a bottle merchant by going and playing in that Farmers League, because he should have come and proven himself in the Premier League. But yeah, good game. Go on, City.
And as a City fan, do you think Ole losing his job is a good thing? Because surely it only means good things for United now.
Well, if they're going to bring in a decent manager, but they just signed some... Couldn't even tell you his name, Dave. Some bloke for the interim period. So I think it's another season of ups and downs. But obviously, you know, as long as United are getting beat, that's all that matters for me.
Wreck it, Ralph, in he comes. We've also got on the line, we've got a very special guest. We've got the player that is actually dominating our FPL league at the moment. We've been trying to keep him off the podcast, actually, hoping that his run would stop. But unfortunately, he just continues to chug on. He's also known as the coach. We've got Scott Needham with us today. Scott, how are you?
I'm brilliant. I've been looking forward to this all week. And I'm excited to give you some of the knowledge I have, which has took me to the top of the table.
Well, I think we need it. No pressure. And if there was ever a time when a bad week was going to come, after what I'm probably going to expect is going to come on this podcast, everyone's going to hope it's going to be this week. So we always start the podcast to find out how good your football knowledge is. You've got an extremely low bar to go at so far. We've had some absolutely deplorable performances from supposed football experts in the last few weeks. So, Richard, do you want to kick us off today with the football quiz?
Yep, as ever, the quiz is always the talking point within the WhatsApp group. So I thought Ben Calgo would have done well last week, but out of probably all the questions we've had so far, his were the easiest and he absolutely crumbled. So no pressure, Scotty. It's going to be 5 questions, always the 5 same topics. And the first question is based around England international football. So question number 1, which manager gave David Beckham the honourable captain's armband for the first time?
I've been petrified about this quiz all week. I'm expecting a 0.5 out of 5. I'm going to go with...
As always, mate, take your time.
Goran Eriksson.
Do you know what? It's close, mate. And it's a bit of a... It's one of those funny questions. It was actually Peter Taylor.
What?
I think he came in for a couple of games to steady the ship and gave Bex the armband.
Right,
We're off to a positive start with 0 points after the first question. So moving on to question 2. This is based around 90s football. Arsenal's Steve Morrow at the full-time celebrations of the 1993 League Cup final fell off a player's shoulder celebrating. It's quite famous that they're all celebrating. He was on someone's shoulders and he fell off someone's shoulders and dislocated his shoulder. Who was the player's shoulder he fell off? Think Arsenal, 90s. I can see you shaking your head. Think about it.
Tony Adams.
Correct, Scotty. You're off the mark. Was that a guess, mate?
It's probably just one of the Arsenal players from the 90s, I know.
Okay, well, luckily we're moving on to the 2000s. And as always, I always put a question in there based on the player's favourite football team, which is Man City in your case. So I think you'll get this one, mate. Who won the Man City club's players' player of the season award between 2005 to 2008, 3 years on the bounce? For the listeners' viewers, Scott's face is grimaced.
What's that, 15 years ago? Jesus.
God, it is that long ago, isn't it?
Richard!
So I'll repeat the question. Who was Manchester City's player of the year?
With Elano.
Well, he only played for 2 years, mate, so you'd be struggling on that one. It was actually Richard Dunn. Oh. Richard Dunn, Dunny the Honey Monster. So, yeah, I think he won number 22 as well. Just thought I'd throw that in for a bit more info. And always, mate, we do a 0.5 bonus score throughout the quiz. So I'm going to keep it in City for you. The famous Uwe Rösler, German striker to play for City, named his son after which City legend?
Giorgio Kincladze, but George.
Ooh, it's a good effort. Well, it's not really, actually. It's Colin Bell. He's called him Colin after Colin Marr.
Richard!
What a name.
So, as it stands, mate, going on to question four, you've got 1 point. So, you're in the sort of Calgill-Schmied territory. At the moment, Tom Norton's still leading the pack. So, question four. What player... Sorry, mate, this is between 2010 to 2020. Which player recorded the most Premier League assists in that decade? So, not too far long gone. I'll give you a clue. He was a midfielder, obviously. I'll tell you what, mate. I'll give you another clue. This is your final clue.
I want it.
His nickname. No, that's too easy.
shouldn't be any clues.
No clues, then. No clues. He's got black hair.
Frank Lampard.
Incorrect. It's the one and only Gay Dave, David Silva.
Oh, bloody hell.
The clue was going to be his nickname's actually on the podcast, but that would have been giving it away. So, yeah, David Silva. Come on, Scott. You're in blue. You should have got that.
Embarrassing.
Okay, mate. So to joint top, you need to get this last question right. And the last question is always on the previous week's fantasy football fixtures. And for Newcastle, St. Maximin, I think he's in your team, is he?
No.
Nope. No study required. St. Maximin scored at the weekend. Who did Newcastle purchase him from?
French team.
Correct.
Rennes.
Oh, wasn't a very nice question. Answer that, Scotty. It was actually Nice.
Oh.
So you are in the absolute cannon fodder with the likes of Calgill and Schmee rooted to the bottom of the table and Tom Norton still leading the way. And that is the end of the quiz. Awful, awful, Scotty.
Apologies.
The only way is up. It'll be interesting as well. We're hearing on the podcast every week, we're hearing the people that aren't even actually necessarily playing fantasy football, but are listening to the podcast that are actually commenting on how easy the questions are, how many they're getting right. We're even getting people, Colin Marr actually just got mentioned on the podcast there, and he actually said, Dave, if you ever have anyone that doesn't play fantasy football, and I'd love to come on.
he would be a fantastic guest.
With his dry humour.
Yeah, I reckon you could get him on as like a secondary guest because you need a FPL member plus.
Okay. What? So should we start having guests on to bring plus ones with them?
It's a good idea.
Hey, if there was anyone's plus one I'd want to see, Scott, it would be yours. Okay, so on to last week's FPL results. It was quite a high-scoring week. I think the highest score was 140, 150-odd. Richard, do you want to just go through who the top scorers were last week and who the relegation fodder are?
Oh, well, to be honest with you, Dave, I don't. And the reason why is because out of the 16 players, it's 16 in our league, the worst with 52 points was myself. Absolutely shambolic week. And I was first or second for the first 3 or 4 weeks, and I've just slowly just trickled down the league. And it's just not working for me at the moment. But I'll turn it around. So, yeah, worst with 52 points was the co-founder of Get Your Tips Out, Richard Chadwick. And moving on to the best score, just pipping our Scotty, who's with us today. It was two people, and it was with 77 points, Michael Martin and Michael Schmee, who has just become a father. Congratulations, Michael, to your newborn. I hope you have zero sleep, and yeah, you're in a really bad way.
Love it. And also, just to sort of stick the dagger in, if Cowgirls Week couldn't have got any worse, he actually was only 1 point better than you at 53 last week. So, and actually, when you said you were top 3-4 for the first few weeks, I'm pretty sure Ben was up there as well.
That's it. They say the cream always rises to the top, but in this case, our cream is very sour and it's off and it's fucking horseshit.
Is there a curse of the podcast for me?
Do you know what, mate? I think you could be right. Schmier had an absolute stinker when he was on after his week as well.
See, you could say that. Tom Norn's second in the league, though, so it's not all bad. I was 76 last week as well, so... Gradually making progress. So on to last week's tips. We had, I was really, really interested in lots of the fixtures last week because I thought there were going to be lots of goals. And I mentioned about if you could get on the goals lines market, which was normally set somewhere between, it's somewhere in the mid-20s. I think it was 36 goals over the course of the weekend, so loads of goals everywhere. The two games that I put you on were the over 2.5 in the two markets that were actually the biggest price across them all, Burnley Palace, which was in within 26 minutes, and the Newcastle-Brentford game, which was in within 30 minutes. So if you had the double by 3:30, you'd actually collected, which was good. Richard, on the Chaddy Treble, what actually happened on the Chaddy Treble last week? It was actually an improvement.
Well, it was a big improvement. And as always, Dave, we've got to get ourselves in with the jingle. So it's, Chaddy Treble, da-da-da-da, boo-boo. Chaddy Treble.
Or I actually prefer Ben's, what Ben put forward, the Ian Beale meme that we'll throw in. I've got nothing left. I think we need to throw that in somewhere.
I've got nothing left. I've got nothing left.
Literally, nothing left in the account. So I did a Chaddy Treble, right? And this is why you should always go with your gut, I think, with betting. So my Chaddy Treble was Spurs to win, Villa to win, and over 2.5 in the Liverpool Arsenal game. I put £10 on to return £64, and I was about an hour before the podcast. I thought, oh God, I don't think that's right. I'm gonna do another Chaddy Treble, and lo and behold, the one that I gave just got pipped. So my original Chaddy Treble did actually win. So I was actually up over the weekend, but I went for Spurs to win, that came in over 2.5 in the West Ham Wolves game, which just fell short, and I went under 2.5 in the Hull Brum game, which came in. So out of 6 bets, 5 of them came in, so not too bad. But yeah, the actual Chaddy Treble once again failed miserably. Well, not miserably, just fell short, but luckily I made it back with another Chaddy Treble myself. So yeah, I've got another Chaddy Treble to come, which I'll be releasing later in the podcast. Thank you.
Very good. So 2 out of 3, it's getting there. I think I'll echo everybody's sentiments when I say I hope none of those Chaddy Trebles ever come in. I think the world will end if that ever happens. So let's keep that losing run going. On the fixtures from last week as well, obviously we go through each of the fixtures. We're going to go through the fixtures for this week in a moment. Across the fixtures last week, let's see what the results were. So I predicted 6 of the results correct. Chad, you actually predicted 6 of the results correct. And Cowgill actually predicted 7 out of the 10 results correct, which is really good. I predicted 2 correct scores, right? So I was actually a bit cursed because I went 2-2 in the Burnley Palace game and 2-2 in the Newcastle Brentford game, and they were both 3-3. but I did go 3-0 in the City Everton game, and I went 2-1 in the Spurs Leeds game, so I got 2 correct scores right, which pushes the running totals of the Predictor League. So I'm up to 21 points. Chad, you're up to 9 points, and the lads are up to 10 points.
Well, that's a tough one to take on the double chin, isn't it?
You're absolutely dominating.
So far, yeah. But it's a long old season. So we've got lots of really interesting fixtures this week. We've actually got 5 fixtures Saturday and 5 fixtures Sunday. They keep mixing it up every single week. And we're going to start with the 12:30 game, which is Arsenal against Newcastle. And I'm going to come to yourself here, Richard. How do you see this one going?
I'm going for Arsenal to win 3-1. I think obviously they had a bad result last week, but you know, anyone can get turned over at Anfield by that result. I think Eddie Howe's got a bit of a job to do. He's not. He wouldn't have liked this fixture at all as his first one in the dugout. But yeah, I'm going to go for Arsenal 3-1.
Okay, it is his second fixture in the dugout, isn't it?
No, he was in the stands for the first. He had COVID, David.
Oh, of course. Oh, sorry, in the dugout. I thought you meant as manager.
Physically in the dugout.
Scott, what about yourself?
I've gone with 3-1 here. I know Arsenal got whooped last week, but they're pretty decent when they get going, and Newcastle haven't been. So I'm going 3-1. With Maximilian or St. Maximilian to sneak one for the visitors.
Yeah, very nice player. I'm going to go...
like that, David.
I've actually gone 3-2 here. Again, just to reiterate what I said last week, I think about Newcastle. Eddie Howe will definitely go in there trying to play positive, proactive football. So I think they will score goals, but they are leaky at the back at the best of times. And I think Arsenal are looking quite good. So I think it could be a really good game, and I've gone 3-2. Into 3 o'clock fixtures then. We've got three 3 o'clock fixtures. We've got Palace at home to Villa. Come to you, Scott, here first. How do you see this one going?
I've gone for 1-0. Palace have been going all right, haven't they? And Villa have obviously got Gerrard. They seem to go well last week. They'll probably go on a bit of a good patch with the new manager in. So I'm going 1-0 because, yeah, Palace at home, they're doing okay. That's
no
reason.
Richard?
Yeah, it's a very strange, Scott. We've got the same result again. I've also gone for Palace 1, Villa 1. Again, similar reasons to Scott. I think Gerrard will be, you know, get the lads buoyant after the last result. But I think Palace are going to be a tough at Selhurst Park this year. So, yeah, 1-1. I think it'll be a good game, but it'll be 1-1. I quite like the look of Benteke in that Palace team. I want to try and get him in. And I was tempted this week for Hwang, I'm just can't be bothered taking another -4, -8, -12, whatever's going to come. Scott,
I've got a theory on the. I know all these fullbacks are doing really well, aren't they, for the premium teams? Is everyone going to figure this out and start defending quite wide, and these strikers going to get a bit of space? Maybe these Hwangs and Bentekis are going to come good and start grabbing the points, because they might be putting pressure on these fullbacks because they're absolutely cleaning up.
I'm just going to say, if you've got that Asian lad in your team, I'd say get your Hwang out. It's funny, I've actually gone 1-1 as well. So actually 1-1 all across the board there. Interestingly, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It might mean you need to get stuck into it. It might mean you need to get away from it. But again, yeah, it should be a good game. Right, Liverpool against Southampton. I think this is going to be quite tight. I think Southampton are a good defensive team. If you look at them, they don't often concede many goals. Liverpool are on a good run. They've got a couple of players missing. I thought it was bizarre that they played Mane and Salah in a game that didn't mean anything midweek in the Champions League. Sort of asking for trouble. So I've actually gone 1-0 here. I could see it being tight. I could see him hanging on at the end for a 1-0 win. How about yourself, Richard?
I've gone for a straightforward 3-0 win for Liverpool, mate. Liverpool at Anfield, I don't know. I don't know what the statistics are, but whenever they seem to play, they seem to just turn teams over. So yeah, Liverpool 3-0, straightforward victory. The Egyptian to take the armband for my fantasy team. And we'll no doubt now blank.
Very good. And Scott?
Well, I've gone 3-0 as well. And
what on earth?
Dave, I'm with you. Something's got to give with this team. Like, they're playing the players every game. They don't come off, do they? Like, Saladus plays pretty much every minute. But at home, Liverpool, the crowd, and they're going to have massive possession around their box. They're going to create stuff, aren't they? So, gone with 3-0.
Very good. This is one of those weeks, isn't it, where if you're going to be brave enough to not captain Salah, it can go one way or the other. Because if he did blank and you get somewhere, you could be making 20 points on the rest of the people in the league. But if you do go with him and with everybody else, you don't actually make any progress. What do you think, Scott?
There's the other Liverpool assets, Trent being the main one. He's a big shout for captaincy this week, I reckon. Points with clean sheets or attacking. He's taking free kicks. What's his assist? He's had about 15 assists, hasn't he, in 10 games or something daft like that.
Yeah, what about yourself, Richard?
Well, the thing you got with Salah is the armband situation. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, out of those last 4 weeks, when people have gone Salah armband, I've tried to be a bit clever and it's not paid off for me. And the people who just pick Salah every single week as captain and the sort of people who sleep in bed with socks on and have cornflakes for breakfast, absolute nonsense. So I'm going to have to just join the bandwagon and I'm just going to start giving him the armband week in, week out.
Pull your socks up, Rick.
Yeah. So you're getting down to B&M Bargains tomorrow. You're buying some socks with some grip on the bottom and you're sleeping in them over the weekend and hoping for a 20-point haul from the little magician.
That's the one, mate. And I'm on cornflakes all weekend.
Very good. Okay, so moving on to probably what is the least sexiest fixture of the weekend. We've got Norwich at home to Wolves. Scott, how do you see this one going?
I've gone 1-1. I know Brighton are known for good defence.
Sorry, this is Norwich Wolves.
Oh, sorry, I've gone 1 early. Norwich Wolves. Yeah, completely got that wrong. Norwich Wolves, 1-0 Wolves.
Straightforward, just like that?
Yeah.
Very good. Richard?
Norwich 1, Wolves 1. I think it'll be a tight game. I think Norwich got a good result last week, was it? Dean Smith in charge. Might try and shore the defence up a little bit. I think 1-1, and I'm hoping for a hoang to bag the Wolves goal.
Does any of you, out of interest, think that Norwich will stay up?
No.
No, Scott? No. Okay, yeah, that's three across the board. nice and straightforward. It's good when it's simple. I've gone the 2-1 away win. I think Norwich could score a goal, but I think Wolves aren't on a bad run. And they've got goals in them. So 2-1, I've gone there. So into the evening fixture, we've got Brighton at home to Leeds. Let's see. Richard, what do you think here?
Well, I was quite astonished to see Brighton's last 7 fixtures or whatever it was. They've not won in about 7 games, which I found quite remarkable. I didn't realise they were in that such a bad of form. I've had Trossard in for the last couple of weeks who got a good score of points haul for me, but I've taken him out this week because I think they're not going to win again. I've just gone for a simple 0-0. Can't see any goals. Leeds haven't got Bamford. Brighton struggling. So, yeah, 0-0 down at Sean Roberts, Brighton Coast.
Interesting. How about yourself, Scott?
I've gone 1-1. Yeah. Just think they're both pretty shit. They'll both let a goal in. That's about as good as it's going to get.
Love it. I've got 2-1 Brighton. I think Leeds just haven't been the same team this year, I don't think. But if they get it going, they can grab a goal. But I thought Brighton, generally speaking, at home, they're not too bad, are they, Brighton? Just having a look back through the fixtures. I mean, somehow they got beat at home to Everton, which nobody does. And they got beat by City. Other than that, they're unbeaten at home. So, and they usually score. So, yeah, I've gone 2-1 there. So, into the Sunday fixtures. We've got some interesting fixtures on Sunday. We've got relatively high-flying Brentford at home to Everton, that Calgary last week on the podcast was keen to state were absolutely terrible pre-season and were still judging what they should be like now based on a pre-season game, which I thought was quite bizarre. But how do you see this one going, Richard?
Brentford at home. I said it, I think it was like week 2 or 3. I said they're looking great. So, Brentford at home. I fancy him, mate, to do the business 2-0. And I think Tony will get amongst the goals. So it's Brentford 2, Everton 0. And I think Benitez could be in a bit of trouble if come Christmas.
I tend to agree. I think with all the maybe more high-profile things that have been going on about managers potentially losing the jobs and then the sort of merry-go-round of the last couple of weeks where managers have actually lost the jobs, he's sort of gone under the radar a bit, but I think this could be a game here where the pressure really starts to mount on him. I think Brentford look really, really good going forward. Everton looks so bad at the back. I think it could be a really good win here for Brentford. I've gone 3-1 Brentford. How about yourself, Scott?
I've matched Richard again. 2-0 to the Brentford. I've got a bone to pick with Brentford because I put Mbeumo in, and I'm going to be honest here. From listening to a podcast, they were fucking raving about him. 4.5 million. He's hit the post 17 times. I've stuck him in. He's done absolutely fuck all.
But you know what? It's funny you should say that, mate. I did see that this week on somewhere on Twitter. Apparently, yeah, he has hit the post 7 times already this season. And I think the highest in the Premier League ever is like 11 for the whole season. So he's having no luck, that lad. Beaten
so
central.
Can't wait to get his 2 in on Saturday.
Yeah, so I actually had him in from week one at the start of this season and he didn't do anything. The first three, maybe four games, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. I took him out and obviously first week, that was when he bagged his goal. Left him out for a little bit and I put him back in, what would it have been, maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And then they even captained him 1 week. I thought, do you know what? They must have, were they home to Norwich? I think Norwich actually, you know, Norwich beat him, didn't they? Was that Daniel Farke's last game? But yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Curse of it. So I've gone 3-1. You both are 2-0 there. So into the is it 2 o'clock game, Burnley Spurs. Again, Burnley have done us a favour a couple of times on the podcast so far. I'm going to go in again on this game because Burnley at home, I think, can be not assured, but they can be relied upon to go forward and at least try to bag a goal. And Spurs, again, we're recording this on Thursday, but they've been beaten by a Slovenian side. Harry Kane played the full 90 minutes. They've had to bring all the big guns that they had on the bench off the bench. Bizarre goings on. And I think they're going to struggle, to be fair, against Burnley. And I've gone 2-2. I think they've got enough to bag a couple of goals, but I think Burnley will be able to bag a couple as well. And this is a bet I'm going to be having later on as well on the podcast. So I've gone 2-2 there. Scott, how do you see this one going?
I'm probably biased here because I rolled the dice with Harry Kane 4 weeks ago. And it's not pulled off whatsoever. He's blanked. And in and around that, he's scored about 20 goals for England. And he's actually scored tonight, but he's played 90 minutes, so he'll be guaranteed shit on Sunday because he'll be absolutely knackered. So I don't know why. I've still gone 2-0.
It was funny. I remember over the weekend, while Spurs were playing, there was somebody in the WhatsApp group that was like, what is Harry Kane doing? He's playing as a defensive midfielder. Kept coming to the centre circle to pick the ball up and spray it out wide.
I think that was Chris Canning because he'd captained him. And I know we all like these shout-outs. I don't think he's had one yet. he lives off this football he won for Manager of the Week, but he's been absolutely abysmal since he joined the league. So
If you actually notice when Canning posts his Sunday night pictures at about 8 o'clock to try and lure the birds in with his glass of red and his curry and his Netflix on, you can see his ball, fantasy football ball next to his TV in the Pride and Place. Now that is nonsense.
Yeah, it's funny. So yeah, we heard, I mean, for the benefit of the listeners that might not know him, we heard that he'd won a game week in the whole of FPL and he received this football and, I don't know, a wallet and a bag of cheaper Pringles or something. I don't know. It was an amazing prize that he got. And he came into the league obviously expecting big things. I don't think he's been within 50 points of the top scorer each week. So, back down to earth with a bang. It was obviously just that. Maybe what he needs to do is get a pair of socks and start wearing them to bed. That might be what he needs to turn his fortunes around.
He's good friends with Reynolds and it's quite clear that they must chat about this in the week.
And I'll tell you why, because Reynolds is 11th and Canning is 12th, and there's only two more places below. So, yeah, absolute cannon fodder.
Great stuff. Maybe we should get them both on in the same game week, and they might pick one result between them.
We have to record Dave Reynolds' score predictions because they will be the worst the entire season.
Yeah, I did ask him for a prediction on the Arsenal-Newcastle game and he told me it would be 12-8, so I didn't ask for any other results. okay, so we've got next, we've got Leicester. I digress. Next, we've got Leicester.
Hold on, David. David, I've not given my Burnley Spurs result yet.
Oh, I apologise, Richard. Go on. What have you got there?
Now, this was just before I seen Spurs get beat by some Lithuanian farmers. So I did have originally Spurs 3, Burnley 1, so Spurs to beat them. But I can't change my score now anyway, because obviously I give you my scores before we do the podcast. So I just saw Jamie O'Hara, the fat Cockney mole, going absolutely ballistic on Sky Sports News about how bad they were. So, yeah, Conte's got to get them going. So hopefully he'll come good for me. So Spurs 3, Burnley 1. But again, goals. You love Burnley at the moment for goals, mate, down at Turf Moor. So, yeah, it could be the bet.
Yeah, all you've got to do, you've just got to look for some value over and above what the market's giving you. And that's, if you can do that consistently, that's where you could potentially make a profit. And I think that's what Burnley have been overpriced to score goals, basically, I think, this season. Next, we've got Leicester against Watford. I'm going to come to Scott here. How do you see this one going?
I've gone 3-1 here. We've got the Leicester game on now. I think we've all got it on in the background. They look pretty good. They don't play that Daka though, do they? He's absolutely amazing.
He's just bagged as well. He bagged a good goal.
He's class. Madison scored one. Yeah, 3-1. Watford, they're doing a bit better, aren't they? Well, they did play United though, so you can't really judge that. 3-1.
Yeah, very true. Richard?
I think it was a bit of a freak result for the Watford one last week. I think Leicester might be a bit tired from their Thursday night football, but I'm just going to go for a sneaky 1-0 win to Leicester.
So I've gone for a 2-1 Watford win here. Again, partly because of the Thursday night game. Obviously, Leicester have got a Thursday night game. I know they've rested quite a few players. Watford are looking a lot better under Ranieri. Obviously, Ranieri's mental, isn't he? But they'd love... He'll be telling him to go forward and attack. And I was looking at some stats earlier on the week and just stuff about him going forward and the number of shots, the amount of possession in opposition's areas and stuff like that. They break really, really fast. And I think Leicester have only, I think I might be thinking they've only had one clean sheet this season, which is mad when you think last season they had one, especially towards the start of the season, they had one of the best defences. If you think FPL-wise, you put a couple of Leicester defenders in, you're getting clean sheets left, right and centre. So I was looking
at...
Yes, I was trying to think of a draw. I mean, I was thinking maybe a draw, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to stick my head out and I'm going to go for a Watford win there. So I've gone 2-1 Watford. Okay, possibly two of the most interesting fixtures of the weekend coming up, the final two. So we've got City at home to West Ham. Do you see this being straightforward for your team this week, Rick?
Well, I'll actually be making the long journey from Mobley to Beswick this Sunday, David. So I'll be watching it live. And City were unbelievable yesterday. Can't stress it enough. So it'll be typical City to now have an absolute lull and probably concede an early goal, be a scrappy affair. So I think there'll be goals. I think it'll be City'll just have enough. So City 3, West Ham 2. I don't have a clue what team Pep's going to play. Foden, is he fit? Don't know. Is he in my fantasy team? There's a dilemma for me. Grealish, no idea. So I think he'll bring Jesus in up front and probably stick with Sterling and Mahrez on the wings. City 3, West Ham 2.
I saw that Bernardo's played. Has he played? Bernardo Silva's played. Has he played every minute of the last seven games or something like that? Is that just in the league? Do you think he's consistent in the team, or does that just mean he's far more likely to now get a rest?
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't know with Pep, do you? But he is playing unbelievable football at the moment, probably the best of his career. But I wouldn't have him down as a point scorer week in, week out. I think old Mickey Kilmartin got a bit lucky with that last five-minute goal that he got last week. So, runs his heart off, plays unbelievable, but not necessarily amongst the goals and assists. But, yeah, there you go.
Good. I mean, I saw it being more straightforward. City just looking immense at the moment. I can just hear it ringing in my ears, Mike Lee on the podcast a few weeks ago saying, Moisey is not the saviour. And I just see... I can see him bagging a goal once City are strutting the stuff. And there are a few goals up already. Antonio getting in behind, something like that. But I've gone 4-1 City. Over to you, Scott. What do you think?
I'd like to change my score prediction. Now I know Rick's going. We have a Man City group, obviously, and me and Rick are known as the Cottage Pie Blues because we like to stay at home on the couch with the commentary of the cottage pie on our lap. But if I know Rick's going, it's going to be an absolute shit show and he'll be moaning at half five, saying, why the fuck did I go to the game? But I've got the 1-0 anyway.
Is the cottage pie a euphemism or are we talking about like potato and mince?
Yeah, we're talking to the mints on your lap, scoffing, drinking beer, traffic on the way home.
Yeah.
Lovely and warm with your toasty socks on.
Anywhere but Beswick.
it's a good metaphor for life, really.
Yeah.
So Scott, you've gone did you want to change?
No, I'm gonna stick with it. I think there might be a bit of rotation. I've gone 1-0 Man City, and do I get to do a bet of the week? Shall I save that till later?
Yeah, we'll come to that in a moment. It's interesting, on a game like that, there's things obviously you can do with the markets if you're playing on the exchanges, and I've done this in the group and shown a few of the lads how to, some people think it's Chinese and not really sure what to do, but all you really need to do is understand where the market's going to move to, and that's where you can make a profit. It's the same as your stocks and shares and stuff like that. So a game like City West Ham, it's going to be massively odds against that it's going to be over 2.5 goals. If you thought it was going to be tight and you think it's going to be 1-0, all you need to do is, you put your sort of anchor bet in, you get involved at, it might be 6-4, 7-4, under 2.5. Whatever you stake, you might be staking 10, 20 quid or whatever, you might be staking hundreds or even thousands. And that's it. Put in the, put 300-500 quid on at 7-4. Within 20 minutes, if it's still 0-0, you can trade it out at 5-4 and pocket there, whatever it would be, 120 quid profit that would be there regardless of what the result was. So there's lots of different ways to make a profit, even if you're not necessarily picking the right result. And I think we might come on something like that later in the podcast as well. The final game of the weekend then, Chelsea against Man United, one of the most sexy fixtures in the whole of the Premier League in the past. I'm not quite sure about right now. But we've got Chelsea at home this weekend. Rick, how do you see this one going?
Chelsea are playing unbelievable as well. United, who knows? Who knows what's going on with them with this new guy coming in? But yeah, Chelsea will win this. Don't think it'll be a stuffing. I think it'll be Chelsea 2, United 1.
Very good. Scott, yourself?
I've gone Chelsea 2-1. I mean, it doesn't seem like a sensible score pick with the current form of each team, but I just think they'll set up defensively and everyone gets up for these games, don't they? So I know, United have done it against City recently. Not in the most recent game, but the last couple of seasons, they've done quite well against us. So they can get up for it and the players are good. But 2-1, what's this new bloke? I know I was in the sauna at the gym before and do you want people talk to you? And you just don't want them to. Anyway, this guy talked at me for 20 minutes. I call it a stop that. You just don't want him. And he's like, yeah, he's took Red Bull, Leipzig, up the leagues and all this. I was like, I don't care. But anyway, what is he going to do for United? Interim manager then? Be like a director of football? Is that the plan?
Who knows what the plan is at Old Trafford? Who knows? Yeah. It's bloody great to see.
I'm a bit disappointed Poch didn't get the shout. I think that would have just been the next manager to get fired in the year.
I think the plan is he goes in for the rest of the season. Poch then comes in and then he goes upstairs as director of football. I think that's the plan, but who knows what happens. I mean, it will not be the same as Solskjaer if he came in and he won every game till the end of the season. Are they then going to get rid of him? It's where you draw the line. Yeah.
Well, after this Chelsea game, they've got a pretty decent run, haven't they, United? I think 10, 15 games of... in FPL talk, greys and greens.
very good. So 2-1, 2-1. I've actually gone 2-1 as well. So we've actually got two games this weekend that we've all gone for the exact same scoreline. I just think Chelsea are far too good for United at the moment. United do look good when they've got the ball going forward. I'm not sure as much of the ball they're going to have going forward. I could see Chelsea getting 2-0 up and then just sitting back like they do. And we might be able to, once we get a bit of pace onto the pitch, because he'll probably go defensive, won't we, to try to not get battered. And then when we go behind, he'll bring Rashford on, he'll bring a bit of pace on, he'll bring a bit of width on, and I could see us grabbing a goal, but I can't see us beating Chelsea, unfortunately. So we'll keep a close eye on those fixtures this weekend and see where we stand at the end of the week with the Predictor League. On to the next part of the podcast then. What we normally do is look at the week's best bets. So I know there's a couple of people, you know, each of you here have got interesting things you want to talk about. So we're going to come to Scott first. Have you got is there more than one bet that you're looking at this morning? Is it a multiple? Is it a treble? Is it some sort of strategy?
Well, my bet of the week is, as you mentioned before, under 2.5 in the Man City West Ham game. I just think they might rotate a little bit, maybe look a bit sluggish. And it's 6-4, so it's pretty decent odds. If City are a bit tired, I know they've obviously played PSG, and like we said, the same players are kind of playing each week. So if they get one or two up, maybe they just knock it about, which they are capable of doing. So for odds only, and the thought that they can't just keep banging 4 or 5 in every week, that is my bet of the week.
Very good.
I've also done a Scotty treble.
Scotty treble.
Which is a 3 under 2.5s. And I'm just going to pull up the screenshot now. Which is not there. But anyway, it's the Man City game under 2.5. The Brighton game under 2.5. And the Tottenham game under 2.5. And I think it was £85 off a tenner.
Good stuff.
So a bit of competition for you, Rick, this week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, I think Dave will have a word with that, because I know Dave likes goals down at Turf Moor. I'll move straight on with this week's Chaddy Treble, shall I, Dave?
Chaddy Treble. Chaddy Treble.
And so here it is, mate. And I've actually done what I've done last week, and I've changed it at the death again. So I've now got 2 Chaddy Trebles running, but I'll run you through the... sorry, Dave.
I know what you're going to try to do here. You're trying to have 2 bites of the cherry each week. So you go, one of you is not one, but I'm going to say that the other one that I did win.
Well, I'll tell you why. What I do is, when I do the Chaddy Treble before the podcast, I actually put the bets on. Now, what I've just realised is that... Well, I'll run you through the Chaddy Treble that I'm going to do anyway. Brighton leads under 2.5, because on the predictor, I said it'd be 0-0. Now, I've also got... I did have Palace and Villa over 2.5, but on the predictor, I put 1-1, so I'm totally contradicting myself. So I've changed that to Palace, Villa, both teams to score. And Hull have not let me down for the last 3 weeks, so I'm sticking by the Tigers, and I've gone for Hull and Millwall under 2.5. And I looked at the Millwall results, and they only score like 1 a game. So a bit of logic in that one. So Brighton leads. This is your Chaddy Treble, guys. If you're listening, get it written down with your imaginary pen. Brighton leads under 2.5. Palace, Villa, both teams to score. And under 2.5 in the Hull versus Millwall game. £10 pays £54 with Bet365.
Terrible odds.
Well, I need a win.
At least if you go with the under 2.5, until there's 3 goals, you're actually winning. You can look at it that way, I suppose. You're back in a team, Dave, so you know you're going over. You've got to actually have something happen in the game before you're actually in front.
That's it. So there we go. Chaddy Treble for the week. Done.
Very good.
What are you having, mate?
Again, I think, looking at last week's fixtures, I said you could imagine a lot of those big, but you know, people are having massive, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 timers on all the games, having big accumulators. You could see a lot of those being, you know, you'll see on a Sunday someone's going to have a massive bet going on. 8 out of the 10 games last week were over 2.5. So for anyone having those big multiples, there was money to be made. And looking at the fixtures, just looking through the fixtures and what I've put, what I think the correct scores are going to be, I've actually only put one team that I think won't score, which is Southampton away at Liverpool. And I've actually predicted 1-0. And if you look at the number of goals that are predicted, again, it's into the 30s. So I think that goal line bet, I'm going to have to try to find a bookmaker that's doing it that I can find someone that I know that can get a bet on with them and see if I can get a bet on that. I think that would be a really good bet. And I could see you could have a couple of games still to spare at the end and you'd already have drawn. I think on the odds, I think similar to you, I think Palace Villa, the both teams to score market, could be an interesting one. I'm just bringing up the odds at the moment. But the Burnley Spurs market I like as well. The both teams to score or the over 2.5. Just based on what the odds are going to be. The Brentford game, I think, even not even doing the over 2.5, even looking at something like Brentford over 1.5, just them to score two goals, and you're not relying on Everton to even score. I think those sorts of markets are interesting. But yeah, the main one is probably going to be Burnley again. Spurs having had a midweek game, Thursday game. Burnley will be up for it at home, as they always are. That's probably the best bet of the week for me, based on what the odds are going to be and what the best value is. Also, we had last week, I didn't mention before, the horse will give you Buzz at Ascot that won. It'll be running again, I think, before it goes to Cheltenham. I don't think it's good enough to win at Cheltenham, but hopefully he got on at about 6-4 on Saturday. Is there anything else, lad, on the football before we move on to any other betting opportunities over the course of the weekend?
Not from me, Dave. As ever, I'm only a £10 or £20 maximum weekend spender. So if the Charlie Treble doesn't come in, it's beans on toast.
Scott?
No, nothing from me. I was hoping to give you a rugby bet, but unlike football, you can't bet on it until the teams are out. So there's no odds yet.
Right, okay. Is there something that you were thinking was going to be coming about, or are you thinking about where the handicap was going to be in that judge what you were thinking?
There's a handicap in a game I'm involved in that I wouldn't want to suggest anybody backs, but I think they should.
Okay.
Yeah, it's against us.
Okay.
Make that what you will.
So yeah, we'll try and piece that together. I think I know what you mean, and obviously I'll have a chat when we stop recording, obviously.
But that made absolutely no sense. Cut it out.
So this weekend, there's some good racing again. We've got Newbury, Newcastle on Saturday. We've got Fairy House on Sunday. Some really good Irish racing on Sunday. Some of the horses that will definitely be potentially winners at Cheltenham come March will be running on Sunday in the Drinmore. There's the Hatton's Grace. There's also the Royal Bond Hurdle as well. In terms of horses that we're looking out for, coming ones for your trackers, the horse that I put up last week, Central City, that didn't run, it's changed trainer. So it's gone from Ian Williams to Gay Calloway. As I've said, I think, before on the podcast, it needs 1 mile 2, ideally at Chelmsford, and it's running over 1 mile 2 at Chelmsford as it stands at the moment on Friday. If you listen to this in time, at 7:15. First run with the trainer, so I'm not sure which way it's going to go. It will be a big price. It'll be 25 to 1 just because it's shown nothing this season. My argument would be it's not given any conditions this season that it could actually show its best. So that's definitely one just driving your tracker to the point when it's ready to win. There's a couple of others as well for your tracker. There's one on Sunday that's running at Carlisle in the 12:10, a horse called Lily's Gem. The only downside, it's running over 2 mile 1, and I think it needs 2.5 mile. So it's 3 furlongs shorter than I think it needs to run. But Carlisle is a very stiff finish. Those that know racing will know it's all uphill, which might suit it. And then on Monday, a horse called True Romance that I've been waiting to run is running at 4 o'clock on Monday at Wolverhampton. I think this just really is ready to win. It'll probably be about 4 or 5 to 1, but I think that will win. And then for the anti-post bets, we've been giving you an anti-post one to look out for at Cheltenham in March. I've been looking at the Mare's Chase, which is a race just for mares over the fences on the Friday. And there's a horse called Ellie May that finished second in it last year to Col Reavy. And it's 9-2 at the moment across the board. And there's not a chance this will turn up. It will definitely run in the race. A lot of the other horses that are in the market won't run in the race. They're going to run in other races that they've got declarations for. Come the day, this will be a 2-1 chance. So if you want to make a bit of profit, you want to put your money in something, as long as it turns up on the day, you'll be able to trade it out and make a profit. Fernie Hollow is a horse that I have backed. I don't have that many anti-post bets, but I have backed Fernie Hollow for the Arkle. My thinking being, it was running the Supreme Novices Hurdle last year before it got injured. It was favourite to win the race. Willie Mullins actually switched Appreciate It to running that race, which then won the race. And if you look at it now, Appreciate It is a short price fab for the Arkle, and Fernie Hollow is a bigger price. It doesn't really make any sense. You can have 10-1 Fernie Hollow for the Arkle, which I think is really big. Scott, you got a question?
Dave, it'd just be brilliant if 1 week you just did that in Chinese. It'd be so good.
you think we need to put a jingle in? And I was like, hi, my, 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 my.
Please, how are?
And then there's one other. I was just looking at some of the racing from the weekend. There's a horse called French Dynamite. It was a good herd the last year. It's 25-1 for the Festival Novices Chase. And it's got some really good hurdle form from last season in Ireland. It ran really well last weekend over fences. Looked like it had any amount in hand. It'll be a big price for it because there's some lot more high-profile horses running in that race at the moment. But it'll run probably a couple of times now between now and Cheltenham. And if it runs well, it'll be a lot shorter. So that's it's a bit of a shot in the dark because I don't know exactly which race it's going to run in. It's in the Festival Novices Chase. It might want a little bit. It might want a little bit shorter. It's going to be a hot race, whichever it runs in, but something to keep your eye on. French Dynamite. Richard?
Is that the Marsh Novices Chase?
It is, yeah.
Right. Well, I had £1.80 left in my account. I just put 90p each way on it, 33-1 with Bet365. So come on, the Dynamite.
Very good. Okay, that concludes the things to look out for this week. Scott, is there anything you want to add before we finish?
Well, I just thought maybe we could do a bit of content on like an FPL strategy, a bit like the proper podcast.
It's not a proper podcast, Scott.
Yeah, this is actually number 8 in the FPL podcast chart.
If there's anybody left listening to this podcast right now, they aren't here for FPL strategy, I assure you. But yeah, you are right. Yeah. Is it 8 or are we not? I knew we were number 9 in the UK charts, so we're absolutely racing up the charts. Thanks a lot to all of our listeners.
Like and subscribe.
I must say, we all love this podcast, and I thank you both for taking the time to create it, and getting in the top 10 is a great honour. And also, Rick, you put some effort into organising our FPL end of season do. Where the hell has that come from?
It came from 8 bottles of Coors last night on the couch watching City. And I thought, well, yeah, so every year we have a fantasy football do at the end of the season. And this year we are going to Dublin for 2 nights for the last weekend of the season. So, yeah, I think we'll have a good time there. A bit of diddly-do down at Temple Bar.
So if you want to join us and you're listening to this, just let me know privately. It's £5,000 per person and I'll send you my my bank details to make the transfer immediately. Scott?
Obviously, I've come on and I'm very happy with my season so far. And there was a moment I did my wild card and I said, I'm really happy with my wild card. And I'd done shit that week. And somebody said, well, I say somebody, I checked before and it was Dave Kelly. What are you happy with, 39 or something? But the following weeks have rocketed me to the top. And I'd just like to give myself a pat on the back for that wild card, despite the abuse I received.
Well, mate, let's be honest with you. We can't say anything. You are about 40 points clear at the top. With your team, Sale United, with total points of 818. So if any FPL listeners can top that, then you're doing very well.
Top 50K, as the FPL faithful would say.
Top 50K, fantastic.
And we'll just finish with a question from the Get Your Tips Out community. We've got a question from Jim Clark, who asked us to just explain what XG meant. So basically, Jim, XG stands for expected goals, and it's a statistical measurement of the quality of goal scoring chances and the likelihood of those being scored. So hopefully that answers your question, Jim. Keep your questions coming in for future weeks.
It's great that we have non-FPL listeners.
We've actually got global listeners. If we look at the listeners, we've got listeners in Germany, we've got listeners in France. Got listeners in Dubai, Tage. Richard?
My brother was kind enough to show my mum how to put it on her phone last week. So the first week that I actually started swearing on the podcast, my mum decided to listen to it and was not best pleased with the swearing. So, mother, if you're tuning in once again, I can only apologise for the language, but hey-ho, I'm 36.
My grandparents tune into Sale whenever they're on, because like you might get 3 seconds of like my head in the background, and they love it. They absolutely love it. And I am going to send them this podcast for them to listen to. So I know there's been a few swear words, and they won't know what the hell we're talking about, but they'll be super proud, and I'll take it.
Yeah. I remember one of the first times, actually. I think I was talking to my sister or something with my mum in the background, and I was talking at this event with like 30 people or 40 people, and my mum heard and was like, "Oh, that'll be amazing! Can I come and watch?" Like thinking that like you're famous or something, just because there's a few random people in Manchester just needed to, that probably just had nothing better to do.
Well, it's class. I think Niall's dad, he comes to like every footy match, doesn't he? It's absolutely class. And Chad, your dad come to that footy tournament we did, and it's fucking brilliant, isn't it? We're just like old men scrambling around a little pitch, but they absolutely love it. It wouldn't matter if we had like our shoelaces tied together. They're so proud. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just reminds me before we finish, because we could waffle on all day, of the story when Big Steve Chadwick turned up to watch his beloved son on a Sunday morning with us on Weathercock Farm. He turned up on his bike, and as he literally got to the side of the pitch, Richard was walking off. He said, "What's going on?" He said, "I've been sent off." It was 12 minutes into the game, and he didn't get to see his son play that weekend.
It was actually about 4 minutes into the game, and he said to me, he says, "Son, why are you not starting?" I said, "Dad, I did. I've already been sent off." But as always, mate, we'll finish with the beat the dog. So, of course, we have the quiz that we finish on every time. It's not a quiz, it's just a simple question called Beat the Dog. So, Scotty, we pick a fixture of the weekend, and the fixture this weekend is City versus West Ham. Which minute do you think... Oh, sorry, just before I get to that, it's been rolled over. So, Tom Norn lost, Calgill lost, and it's been rolled over now. So, there's £20 in the kitty to be won. And Tom Norn's actually sent his £10 over, but Calgill is yet to send his £10. Now, despite being a wealthy accountant, I found that quite ironic. So, yeah, well, that's accountants for you, isn't it? So, yeah, £20 to win, mate. So it's City versus West Ham. What minute do you think the first goal will be?
Dave, what was your prediction on this game?
Are we looking at City West Ham?
Yeah.
4-1.
Because obviously you get the favourable position here to go 1 minute after me. But if you think there's goals, I'm going to go 27 minutes.
Like it.
Okay, very good. I was actually going to go with 26, so I'm going to go with 26.
Like
it. Oh, God. Oh, we could be in jeopardy this week, dog.
To give away the £20 that Calgill and Norn have put in. Yeah. I'm shivering.
Norn's been raking it in on the bets recently, hasn't he?
He's doing really well, yeah.
Shout out to Tom Norn.
Well done, Tom Norn. I forgot to say as well, on the beat the dog, if it finishes 0-0, you have to double the bet. So you have to put £20 in. I've just made that up on the spot.
Yeah, thanks for telling me that now.
So there we have it. Beat the Dog is minute 27 from Scotty Needham.
Great stuff. Thanks a lot, chaps. It's been really enjoyable as ever. Good luck with your punting and your FPL this weekend, or whatever else you're doing. Some people call that punting anyway, I think, for Scott. Scott?
Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it. And we need to give a shout out to your Mrs. Dave, who's doing all the producing for us.
Yeah, she...
Without her, it would not be possible. So thank
exactly,
you.
She edits and produces it and doesn't put the jingles in. So, yeah, we really appreciate the help. The jingles are coming, by the way. Don't worry, the jingles are coming. Just keeping you in suspense.
Fantastic. And one final thing. I'm just going to throw one final thing in here. And it's for the FPL followers. Timu Pukki. That's all I'm going to say. Timu Pukki. The Pookie Party is going to be coming back for the next couple of weeks. And on that note, I bid you farewell, chaps.
Goodbye.
All the best, gents.
Ta-da.